Thank you, Brian. It's good to have elders who can spot when you've forgotten to leave things back. We turn to God's word. It's not 1 Kings 18, 1 to 15, as on your screen. That was on Wednesday night. It's 1 Kings 18, verse 41 through to the end of the chapter. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41, page 360 in your pew Bibles. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look towards the sea," he told his servant. And he went up and looked. "There's nothing there," he said. 7 times Elijah said, "Go back." The 7th time the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Amen. And we end our reading there. On Wednesday night at our pre-communion service, we read the story of Elijah's famous encounter on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. It's the story of how Elijah challenged the prophets to present their sacrifice to their God, but without setting fire to it. And Elijah did the same in presenting his sacrifice to the Lord God. The sacrifice that was consumed by fire would show who served the true God, Yahweh or Baal. And of course, we know the story. Elijah's sacrifice was the one to be burned. And the key to understanding this story is in verse 37, where Elijah prayed, "Answer me, O Lord. Answer me so that these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." This is the story of a people who have accepted so much compromise in how they worship the Baals alongside God, that they've become confused, incapable of even knowing what it means to turn back to God. If they're to be redeemed, they're going to need God to intervene and to turn their hearts back to Him for them. And Elijah was making clear that things couldn't just carry on as they were. They couldn't keep worshipping Yahweh and the Baals. They had to choose one or the other. And so in verse 21, Elijah said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal is God, follow him." It was God's demonstration of power on Mount Carmel and the Baal's inability to do anything, that couldn't respond to the prayers of the prophets, that allowed the people to see the true God. And so they cried out in verse 39, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And so we all have a choice to make. We must choose who to follow, God or something else. We cannot do both. Jesus said that no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. Matthew 6:24. God demonstrated on Mount Carmel that he alone is God, that he alone is worthy of our worship. And in doing so, he intervened in the lives of the people of Israel, turning them back to him once more. Jesus demonstrated on the cross, which we remember at communion, that he alone can give us life. He alone can make us right with God, and that he alone is worthy of our worship. When we see Jesus on the cross, when we come to the communion table, we see God intervening in our lives that our hearts might be turned back to him once more. And so as we come to this table today, we are confronted with the question, how long will we waver between two opinions? Because by doing nothing or saying nothing, as the people did when confronted by Elijah, we simply continue to waver. We continue to try and to serve two masters. But as we come to communion and see all that God has done for us, and see how he opens our eyes to who he truly is, so we find that our hearts can be changed, that we can respond as Israel did, that we can say that the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And this response changes everything as far as our relationship to God is concerned. If we go back to our story, Israel had to endure a 3-year drought and famine because they'd abandoned God's ways. We read that in verse 15 on Wednesday night. The drought was brought on by God in order to bring his people back to him. Now, after the events on Mount Carmel, when the people finally gave God his place by acknowledging him, Elijah promises to King Ahab rain. And he said to him, "Go out and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain," in verse 41. And Ahab followed Elijah's advice. He enjoyed a celebratory meal while Elijah climbed onto Mount Carmel to pray for rain. And 7 times he prayed before a small cloud began to form that would blacken very quickly, blacken the sky. And we see a faithful God, a God who keeps his word, a God who turns back from his anger. We see a God of Psalm 103, verses 8 and 10. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Quite the opposite. And it's because we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior that we're not only invited to come and to eat, but we're invited into the very presence of God. And it's that acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord and Savior that changes everything for us. We are forgiven. We are accepted. We are made righteous. brought into God's presence to sit around his table. And that's the reality for each and every person who acknowledges God in this way. It doesn't matter if we look back on our lives and see the things that we've done in the past and wonder, could God forgive us? It doesn't matter about how we feel about the things that we continue to struggle with. The reality is that if our trust is in Christ as our Lord and Savior, then this is how God sees us. This is who we are. Israel endured a 3-year drought because they refused to accept Yahweh as the one true God. They refused to worship him alone, to trust in him alone. The drought was a sign of how they'd removed themselves from God's presence and from his blessing. And we remember the covenant that God made with his people, where he talked about showering his blessing on them if they followed in his ways. But equally, the covenant made clear that if the people were to reject God, then God would withdraw his blessing. And that same covenant applies to us. It hasn't changed. The only difference is in how it's mediated to us through Jesus Christ. For those who trust in Christ, who walk in his ways, there is a blessing symbolized in the meal that we're about to enjoy today. But for those who refuse and who turn away from Christ, well, they are outside of that blessing. But the good news of this story, the good news of the gospel, and the good news about the open invitation to this table is that everything changes, even now today, when we, like Israel, turn and confess that the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. It was this declaration that led Elijah to pray for rain. It was this change of heart that caused God to lift the drought and the flood. To lift the drought and to flood the land once more with rain. And it's this same confession that brings us around this table to enjoy all the covenant promises made to us through Jesus Christ. It's an invitation that is open to all. It is a confession that all can make. And let us do that now as we pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we do confess that you are Lord. We confess Jesus Christ to be our Savior. That it's only through his work on the cross that we come into your presence. And Lord, we thank you for him. As we gather around this table this morning, we pray that you would open our eyes and soften our hearts, that we may see and know and understand all that Jesus has done for us. And we may see it afresh, that it would stir something within us. A response that forces us to trust in you and in you alone. And this we pray in Jesus' name. and for your glory.